I've started realizing something over the last few weeks. That is, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. In about 10 years' time, I'm going to start thinking about retirement. It's extra, I'm 50 in a couple of years, so in 10 years, I'll be 60. Getting old. Terry Pratchett, an author, he put it this way. He said, inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened. Isn't that true? Now, look, I know I'm not very old. I know that. I'm not very old. But I'm starting to feel my age. You know, I get, look in the mirror and I see the odd white eyebrow. When I go to a website, I have to scroll a lot more to find my date of birth, more than I used to. When I go to the gym, I go down to Flyfit. You know Flyfit down in Airside? Do a few weights down there. I can't do the weights I used to. What I do now is just before I leave the machine, I increase it a few kilos then before I leave so someone thinks I did more than I did. But I wonder, do you ever feel like that too? Do you feel like you're getting old? And where do the years go? Where do the years go? Maybe you don't feel it in your body, but you look at your kids, and your kids are doing, you know, junior cert or leaving cert exams, and you go, where do the years go? Well, today, the teacher, this figure who many believe was Solomon, we're working our way through the book of Ecclesiastes, and indeed we come to the last Sunday in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this figure, the teacher, many believe was Solomon, he is definitely old. He's getting old. He's in his final days. And he is, I suppose, reflecting on age and old age and what it is to get to his stage in life. And he has something to say to us. And as I was reflecting on our passage for today, we're looking at Ecclesiastes 7 through to the end of 12. It struck me, it's a bit like a commencement message. You know, if you go to a university and there's a graduation ceremony, they'll often have a guest speaker or a visiting speaker who'll give a commencement talk at the end. And the speaker, he or she, will give advice, you know, to the young people who are graduating. And I think in some ways that's what we have here today. The teacher, this old wise figure who many believe was Solomon, who was very wealthy, very wise, is coming to the end of a full life. And he's been there and he's done that and he's had it all. And he comes to the end of his life. And he has something to say to those who are some years behind him. And now, I don't think he's just talking to young people in terms of, you know, teenagers. I think he's talking to anyone who is younger than him. I think, you know, he's talking to all of us here. I think we can say. I remember I was in Uganda years ago and I met a man. He said, he introduced himself to me, and he was in his 50s, and he introduced himself to me and he said he was part of the youth. I thought that was a lovely, very optimistic way of thinking about it. But I think that's how Solomon is thinking about the youth today. He's talking to all of us, I think, all of us who are younger than him. So picture, you know, King Solomon in his robe with his hat on, doing his commencement talk. What is he going to say to us? This man who has experimented in all of life and coming to the end of his life, what is it he has to say to us? And let's look at this passage together. So class of 2022, life is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this chance to study your word and to hear your words to us this morning. And Father, we find ourselves at different stages in our life journey, some who are young, some who are older. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear what you might say to us this morning. Father, we do thank you for bringing Bernie back safely from Senegal. Lord, we do pray for Richard as he continues to work out there in a mission context. Lord, thank you for him and just for the for all that he's given up to be there. And we just pray for safety for him. Father, we pray for those who mourn. We saw mourning in our passage. Lord, we do think of Yolanda having lost her mum and others, Lord, who mourn in other ways, Lord, have lost things. Lord, be close to them, we pray. And Father, as we look at your word together, we pray that you'd, by your Spirit, make it come alive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what is the teacher wanting to say to us as we finish up this book? Well, it starts off, life is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. The teacher is in relatively good mood for him, isn't he? This is a bit unlike him. He must have had his brand this morning. Enjoy life, he says. No matter your age, enjoy or rejoice in the days of your life. But, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. He couldn't stay positive for too long, could he? Enjoy life, but remember that the days of darkness will be much longer. And it's almost like he's saying, don't forget this reality that you are mortal. I know we are mortal, and we know in a head sense that we are mortal, but we forget that, don't we? And we need to remember that we are mortal. I think that's what he's saying to us. And that life under the sun is ultimately meaningless. We will all age, and we will all die. And doesn't this sum up the whole book for us? And he explores this idea. It's like he unpacks this a bit. And he says, you who are young, and we've seen this already, I think he's talking to really to all of us here. I mean, this is a man in extreme old age. He's talking to all of us here this morning. And he says, oh, I don't have it here. He says, you who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Isn't that lovely? It's a very positive message. Ecclesiastes has been a bit negative at times, hasn't it? over the last few weeks. We started back in April, a lot of meaninglessness. But here's a wonderful positive message. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. And do it now. Don't put off enjoying it. I think we can tend to say, well, once I get this and that sorted, then I can get on and enjoy my life. But I think the message here is enjoy life now. Seize the day. Enjoy life young and old. Verse 8 of our passage says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And so I think we can think, well, I knew there'd be a catch. He's saying enjoy life. I knew there'd be a catch. But I'm not sure he's saying that. I think judgment is talked about here not as a drag and something to dread, but as an encouragement to an enjoy life as God intended. And it's very much a sense, a recall to enjoy life before God or in front of God. And there's this idea that you and I are going to have to talk to God one day about our decisions and about our choices. So make your life a good one, I think he's saying. Live your life in front of God, before him, with him in mind. It is a gift to be enjoyed. Now, one of the commentaries that I was looking at in preparation for this morning put it this way. He said, the teacher, Solomon, is not wagging his finger at young people saying, you know, you're young, but don't forget one day you'll be old. That's not what he's saying, this commentator suggested. He says, you're young, so make the most of life with every fiber of your being. Enjoy it. Live it to the full. Now, that's not always as easy, is it? I mean, for many, life can be very difficult, and I don't want to downplay that. But there can be beautiful moments in life as well, and we can miss them. I think that's what Solomon's wanting to say to us today. Enjoy life. Seize those good moments and enjoy them. Don't let life pass you by without enjoying those good moments. And this same commentator, he goes on to ask, could it be that one day God will call us to account whether we enjoyed the gift of life as he wants us to? Isn't that a question to ponder? Could it be that one day God will call us to account whether we enjoyed the gift of life as he wants us to? You know, he's commanding us here to enjoy life. And could it be that not enjoying life is really to squander the good gift that he has given us? And he will call us to account for that squandering. My son Sam had a pair of these shoes. Remember these shoes that were all the trend a few years ago? There's a light in the sole of them. And if you stamp your foot, the light flashes. Have you seen those? Yeah, and they were all, I don't know if they're still as fashionable as they were. The issue with them is you can't replace the battery. Yeah, so I mean, you have them, you wear them, and after a while, the battery will eventually run out. And I heard about one kid, he had the shoes like these, and when he heard that the battery would run out, he didn't want to wear them, he didn't want to waste the battery. And so he put them aside. And before long, what happened? He outgrew them, and he didn't get to wear them. And so I think what Solomon is saying to us today is wear the shoes, dance in the shoes. Don't put off, you know, protecting this beautiful gift of life that God has given us in the hope that sometime in the future we'll get to enjoy it, because we won't always have that future time. Enjoy it now. There's a song I saw on YouTube this week, and I was at war with myself all week whether or not I showed, because it's 3.5 minutes, but I think it really captures what Solomon wants to say to us. So I do want to play it, so sit back and enjoy this. It's a song by a guy called Trace Adkins, and the name of the song is You're Gonna Miss This.
She was staring out the window of their SUV, complaining, saying, I can't wait to turn 18. She said, I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. And she kissed her head and said, I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now. gonna miss this. Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in her one bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down, 'cause you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look.
Poignant, isn't it? You who are young, be happy while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. Youth and vigor are like vapor. Before you know it, they'll be gone. So live your days fully. Embrace life, if possible, without anxiety. He continues, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. So he continues talking to young people, and he calls on them to remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. What are the days of trouble? What are the days of trouble that he's talking about? Well, he goes on to kind of explain what he is talking about. It's clear he's talking about old age. He's talking about very old age. Now, before I get into this section, I think it is important to say, you know, Solomon is writing as a very old man. This is not some young guy mocking older people. I think he is looking back on life. I picture him with a wry smile on his face. It's a bit of dark humor, but he's looking at what it is to be old. So this is not someone mocking old age, I don't think. But he describes what it is, his understanding of what old age is. And he says, remember your Creator before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. I think there's this idea for when we are older, life can lose its color and its brightness. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, the keepers of the house are your arms. When the grinders cease because they are few, any idea what the grinders are? Your teeth, yeah, that's right. And those looking through the windows grow dim Your eyes, very good. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, there's that idea when we get older, we withdraw a little bit from life, don't we? When people rise up at the sound of birds, but their songs grow faint. I'm certainly finding that. I wonder, are you, that things wake me up more. I wake up earlier. And that sound of a bird wakes us up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, but the songs are faint. We can't hear them clearly. Maybe our hearing is affected. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, as Holly's last week in Mallorca, we went to a water park in Alcudia, and I didn't go on the bigger slides, where I would have a few years ago. We've become more fearful, I think. When the almond tree blossom is white, it's this idea of white hair. And the grasshopper drags itself along. The grasshopper who used to spring is now dragging himself along, and desire no longer is stirred. So he calls these the days of trouble, and they will come to us all, even to younger people. I suggest we younger people can live a bit in denial of that will ever happen to us. We're young. That's for old people, or that's the future. That's not for now. And I think in Western society, I suggest we downplay aging. We downplay death. We try and hide it. We don't like to talk about it. I saw a thing on the news during the week. There's an open letter from 100 actors in Hollywood calling for the portrayal for more women over 45 to be used in movies. Because what tends to happen is they pitch older men with the love interest of a woman who's very young. This idea of hiding old age, we see that even in Hollywood, don't we? I wonder, do you realize that you will get old? I think at one level we know that will probably happen, but we kind of deny it a little bit as well. So I was trying to think, what is a way that I could help us understand that we will one day get older? And I thought what we would do is, have you seen these apps, these face apps you get in your phone? You take a photograph, and then you can add 20 years to your life. Have you seen those? So I asked a few brave volunteers if they would have themselves be aged 20 years. Do you want to see the results? Come on. Can we get those up, Chantal? How will we look in 20 years? Okay, I put myself up first, just to be brave. That's now! What are you laughing? That's now. Stop. Oh. Yeah, it's not good, is it? The image of my dad, I look just like my dad. Yeah. How do we do? Mary Ryan. You ready, Mary? We took this last night, but you didn't see the results. Doing well, yeah. You look okay. You look good. Yeah, he looks great. He does. Who's next? Prince. Where's Prince? Prince. There you are. Okay, we have to see your reaction here. Ready? Esther, you're only married a few weeks, so you know it's too late to back out. Emma Davis. Where's Emma? You ready, Emma? That's right. I think the ladies are coming out of this better than the men, aren't they? All right, who else is next? Glenn. Where's Glenn? All right, Glenn, you ready? Do I have one more? Mike Robinson. What will Mike look like in 20 years? Oh, exactly the same. Why is the teacher doing this? Why is he sticking our faces in the fact that we will age? And he is doing that, isn't he? He's been quite provocative. He is deliberately, showing us that we will age, and this is what it will be like to age. I think he wants us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before the days of trouble come. He wants us to come before God with this. Live life to the full, but live in recognition that these days of youthful vigor will end. So remember your Creator. There's this idea of turn to God in this. Turn to God in this. And he again, in verse 6 of chapter 12, he calls for us to remember. He says, remember him, remember God before the silver cord is severed. There will come a time when it is too late. There will come a time when it's too late to turn to God. Our time will run out. We will die when we are young. The Lord will return in some way. At some time, it will be too late. It's a hard truth to reflect on, isn't it? It's an uncomfortable truth. And so I think he's saying, don't miss the opportunity to turn from the meaningless of life to him who is the giver of life. And he continues then, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, all is meaningless. And this completes the teacher's words from this book of Ecclesiastes. You may remember we saw that the author writes the book and he's quoting the teacher, quoting Solomon all the way through. And this brings the end to the end of the teacher's words. And the author goes on to encourage us to listen to the teacher's words. He says, not only was he wise, but what he wrote was upright and true. And he says that the teacher's words are like a goad. Do you know what a goad is? It's a pointy stick that you stick in the flank, and it wakes us up to where we're going in a wrong direction and puts us on a good path again. Shepherds use it, and people use it for steering cattle and sheep. A goad. He says that the teacher's words are like a goad. And that is what the book of Ecclesiastes is meant to be. It's meant to be a pointy stick in the flank. It's meant to, you know, because we can go on life living in a fantasy that if I just get the right job, if I just make enough money, if I just marry the right person or have the right kids, life will be fine. And that is what he's trying to wake us up from, because that is an under-the-sun way of thinking. And that kind of life, he says, is meaningless. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, he talks about the whole book of Ecclesiastes as being like a bath. It's like a bath, he says. It's not intended to build up our lives. You know, no kidding, says you, after how many weeks of Ecclesiastes. It's not meant to build us up. It's meant to wash away wrong thinking, to expose how we depend on things that will not last and will not satisfy, things that he calls hevel or meaningless, things that are like vapor. Be that all things we looked at over the last few weeks, wealth, success, time, justice, religiosity, wisdom, all these things we've looked at over the last few weeks, whatever it might be, they cannot give us meaning without God in it. And so what is the teacher's point? At the end of this commencement speech, if we sum up what the teacher is trying to say in one word, what do you think it would be? I think it's remember. Remember. No matter your age, this is the day to turn to God afresh, to remember your Creator. Don't live life without God in it, I think he's saying. Remember your Creator. Now, Pat was speaking last week. He said that we know we are mortal. You know, we know that we will die, and that is true. But I wonder, do we forget it? Do we choose to forget it? And the teacher, this wise old man who had it all, who was super wealthy, lived such an extravagant life, he implores us to remember that everything under the sun is meaningless. And he has focused us on some pretty difficult truths over the last few weeks. But contemplating our death is a means to enjoying life and living wisely. Contemplating our mortality is a means to enjoying life and living wisely. And our journey, he's taken us on a journey, hasn't he, from meaninglessness all the way through to now to fearing God. And he finishes with these words. He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. At the end of it all, he invites us to fear God and do what he says. Live as he calls us to live. For God will bring every deed into judgment. Now, this call here to fear God, it doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It's this idea of being in awe of him, of seeing him for who he really is. I think Tim Keller talked about fear of God as being fear with the scary bit taken out. It's that kind of sense of awe when we consider who God is. So to fear God is to remember who he is, to live life in light of that, and to live before him. And that there will be judgment means that what we do matters to God. Our lives matter to God. Isn't that a comforting thought? We matter to God. And just the last thought before we finish up. We do need to remember the book of Ecclesiastes was written before Jesus. The book of Ecclesiastes was written before Jesus, and all that we have read can now be seen differently in the light of Jesus' coming. Because Jesus came and defeated death itself, death has lost its sting over us. We do need to remember that. Because Jesus came, he died on a cross in our place, he took the sting of death upon himself. And we who have put our trust in Jesus, we will live forever with him. Above the sun, in renewed bodies. That'd be nice. Won't that be ultimately meaningful? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes. It has been difficult at times. It has prodded us into acknowledging certain truths, difficult truths, that life is meaningless without you in it. Father, I pray that we would remember you today and this week and in the months ahead. We would continue to turn to you and live life in front of you, with you in mind, that we would enjoy the life you have given us, that in all its beauty, and see it as a gift, a good gift that you have given us. And Father, we thank you ultimately for Jesus, that because of him, death has lost its sting, that we can look forward, we who are in Christ, to an eternity with you, in your presence, in your company, in youthful and renewed bodies forever. Thank you, Father. Amen.